welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day today. It's a wonderful day down here at Health Masters. Things are moving along, and how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm here looking at chemtrails and making people realize that they have not stopped. Just thought I'd mention that, but it doesn't make any difference. We've got chemtrails because, again, as always, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and you will rejoice, and we will all rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I want to talk about Jeffrey Epstein for one moment. An article just came out in the New York Post, and it goes back to the depravity of these guys and who they do and what they do and what they believe. And it says Jeffrey Epstein was sent 3 12-year-old French girls as a birthday gift. I mean, I just don't even say about this. Jeffrey Epstein was once had 3 12-year-old girls from poor families flown from France as a sick birthday present to himself, according to newly unearthed court documents. This is in court documents. Virginia Giraffe, who has claimed that Epstein and his gal pal Ghislaine Maxwell coerced her into being a sex slave when she was 15, said in court papers that the girls who were flown in were molested by the financier and returned to France the following day. The worst one I heard from his own mouth was this pretty 12-year-old girl he had flown in for his birthday, she said, according to the document. It was a surprise birthday gift to himself. Now, what's crazy about this, Jeffrey bragged afterwards, after he met them, that they were 12-year-olds, and they were flown from France because they're really poor over there, and their parents needed the money, or whatever the case is, and they were absolutely free to stay and flew out. The allegations were revealed in 2015 court papers. The case is still ongoing. Now, the irony of all of this, he said that Giraffe and Epstein had described to her how the girls had massaged him. I'm not going to say anything else. And he goes, he went on to tell me how the Brunel brought them from Paris from their parents, offering them the usual sums of money, visas for modeling, etc., and laughing the whole way through. Jeffrey Epstein was laughing the whole way through. Jeffrey thought it was absolutely brilliant how easily money seduced all walks of life. Then he goes on to say, nothing or no one that could not be bought. The same suit filed in Miami U.S. Attorney's Office alleged that the young girls from South America and Eastern Europe were also recruited for sex with Epstein. You know, Austin, what bothers me more than this is that a lot of people can be compromised with money. I've seen it with advertisers in alternative media. I've seen it in Christian TV. I shouldn't call it Christian TV anymore. I should call it Christian Zionist TV. I've seen it with churches who have their budgets paid for and church facilities paid off by George Soros and the Rothschild cutout. I've seen it with people, you know, in media who refuse to allow you to speak. This has happened to me personally multiple times. Allow you to speak about, like, so say, the top 10 foods never to eat because it's going to affect their relationship with Monsanto and then the purchasing of advertising from that station. I've seen that personally with diet sodas and aspartame when I did a big show back with Kathy Fountain back in the 2000s, I guess it was back in the 90s. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is, here's Jeffrey Epstein boastfully bragging that pretty much everybody can be bought, I guess, if you sling enough money their way. And I find it sad because I see so much of alternative broadcasting now going that same way in which they're selling their shows for advertising dollars. Now, I'm going to be very blunt with you guys here. And, you know, and quite frankly, a lot of these people were really good folks and giving out good information before the advertising dollars were included into their podcast, and now they've basically censored themselves for money. And that's why I want to thank you guys so much. I had another guy call me this morning, and he had a label of a product that he wanted me to try to match with what we have, and I told him thank you for supporting us. Because, guys, this is why we're able to do what we do. We provide you the highest quality nutraceutical supplements in the world, in my opinion. They really are really good products, the best I can find, the best I can produce, the best I can get. And so the reality is that if you weren't here supporting us, we couldn't do this. I want to thank you at the beginning of the show for that, because this money, and Jesus said it. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, that doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. And that ties right back into the international bankers, the greed and the avarice of these people, and how they never have enough. It doesn't matter what they get, how many islands they own, or how many sex slaves they have, or anything else. It's never enough. And it's sad to me, Austin, that these people really do exist, and they really are running our planet. What do you think, Bud?
Oh, there's no question about it, and I mean, this is why there's been discussions before on the fact that, I mean, roughly 60 to 70% of the mainstream media ad revenue comes from the pharmaceutical companies. They had to figure out a way to control all aspects of the mainstream media, and that's the way you do so. You go in and you start buying up huge swaths of advertisement, you start spending tens of millions of dollars, and then when people come in and have a guest or want to run another ad, and you go, no. You got to remember, we're giving you $30 million this year for our ads. They're only giving you, X amount of money. If you allow them to come on the show or you allow that to be marketed on the show, we're going to pull all of our ad dollars from you. And so all of a sudden, the accounting, all the aspects of the mainstream media outlet goes, golly, this doesn't work. And this is how they slowly crept in. To the point now, it's an absolute, it's a joke. I mean, I haven't watched regular television. I can't even remember the last time I watched it. But I even remember the last time I watched it, I always kept the commercials on mute. And it was almost a joke on how many pharmaceutical commercials were on. It was like every single time there's a commercial, there's a pharmaceutical drug commercial on, like 8 out of 10 times. And you got to remember, the United States is one of the only countries in the world that allows pharmaceutical direct-to-consumer advertisement. One of the only ones. Majority of countries ban that. Even countries that don't even have the rights and freedoms that we have banned that because they understand what happens when you allow the pharmaceutical industrial complex to come in and brainwash the population into believing they have a made-up disease in some cases in order to take more pharmaceutical drugs. Has it ever occurred to anybody? It's very odd when you see a lot of these pharmaceutical drugs. It'll be something about, restless leg syndrome, and then there's a couple running through the field with butterflies everywhere, and they're prancing while the butterflies surround. They go, do you have restless leg syndrome? You don't have to deal with that. And everybody looks happy, and they're holding hands, and they're running through the meadows like a fairy tale. And then at the very end it goes, and side effects can be death, nausea, vomiting, paralysis, loss of motor coordination, muscle loss, muscle memory. And you go the line, and you're like, golly, this is a drug just to help out with restless leg syndrome? The reason why they're set up like that, guys, is they're a full-blown psychological operation. They're designed to make you think you have something you don't have in order to get you on another drug. That is why the United States is one of the sickest countries in the entire world and one of the sickest in countries as far as at the top of the industrialized nations. The reason why we have one of the highest infant death rates of any industrialized nation. And at the same time, we also have the highest vaccination rate and the highest vaccination schedule of any industrialized nation. These things aren't coincidence. Once you start putting the numbers together and you start looking at the actual facts on the death rate, the sickness rate, the healthcare system, the cancer rates, all the stuff in the United States, and then you start looking at the pharmaceutical industry, you start looking at the biotech with the GMO foods and all that, you start realizing real quick who actually runs the country, and this is why, as Dad said, they don't let people like us anymore on mainstream media because we change the narrative. And when we change the narrative, the population that's sitting there in front of the TV in their stupor, drooling on themselves, watching their pharmaceutical drug commercials, and all of a sudden we pop up on a mainstream media outlet, we start going, wake up, this is what they're doing to you. And we start talking about stuff we have. People on the couch go, golly, this guy's really intense. He's really direct. He's really passionate. Man, some of the stuff he's saying sounds true. I should look it up. There you go. That's what they don't want. They don't want people doing their own research. This is why they've done everything they can in one of the most aggressive efforts we've ever seen in history to demonize anybody that questions the vaccine narrative. I've said this so many times, and nobody can come up with a rebuttal to me on this. If vaccines are so safe, and they're so effective, and they're so needed, and they're so clean, and they're so great, why in the world can there be no discussion of opposition on them whatsoever? If everything is set in stone, and they're 100% perfect, and they're this fairy tale textbook story that the mainstream media depicts them out to be that everybody needs to get, why do they care if somebody says something negative about them? If you're completely completely set in your beliefs and you're set in your stance and you know something to be 100% factual, you don't care if somebody says something negative about it. You don't care. It's like people talk negative about Christianity. Well, we don't care. We can rebuttal them. We can argue with them about it, but it doesn't change our beliefs or our stance on it whatsoever. We're Christians. We know we're set in that, regardless of what other people say. If it's the same case goes with vaccines and the mainstream media is so confident that vaccines are 100% safe and there's nothing to do with any type of dangerous issues and allergies and autism and everything else we've linked it to on the show so many times, why do they care if we talk about it? If it's all fake news and it's lies, why do they care? Because they know it's not fake news and they know it's not lies. They know it's the truth and it changes the entire narrative of what they're trying to work on. So it's so important that you really do your research and you do the best you can to get information like this out here. Also, too, in other news, I thought it was interesting. Remember yesterday I went into detail a little bit about Common Core, or last couple days, whichever show it was, on Common Core and what they've done to try to dumb down the population, the younger population, the youth. If they can control the youth, they can control the country. And changing the mindset, the philosophies, the outlooks, the entire way that children do math in general, and a plethora of other things with Common Core. Well, Freedom of Information Act has now basically uncovered the taxpayer-funded Islamic propaganda that has been forced on teachers via Common Core. This Thomas More Law Center, a national nonprofit public interest law firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, uncovered a massive Islamic propaganda campaign which is being forced on teachers and public school systems, primarily in areas that have a Muslim population like Michigan and Minnesota, but also other states as well. TNLC was concerned after hearing about a two-day mandatory Islamic training course for teachers that was taught by a Muslim consultant who was hired by Michigan's Novi Community School District, and the consultant company came in called Cultural Links LLC. The Thomas More Law Center filed a Freedom of Information request for documents related to this two-day Islamic training workshop and discovered the teachers were not only being essentially brought in to think that Islam was the best religion and that that's what they needed to adopt, but also Islamic terrorism, jihad, and Sharia law essentially didn't exist is what they were being told. Richard Thompson, the president of TNLC and chief counsel, said, "We found that the teachers were subjected to 2 days of full-blown Islamic propaganda where Islam was glorified, Christianity was demonized, and America was bashed, all funded by Navi taxpayers. He said this type of infiltration amounts to a full-blown Islamic Trojan horse within our public school systems. No other religion gets this type of special treatment in public school systems." It goes on to say TMLC inspected dozens of internal school documents, including audio recordings of S's presentation. The information on Islam she provided to teachers was riddled with falsehoods and errors of omission that were clearly meant to deceive. All references to terrorism were dismissed as having nothing to do with Islam. White Christian males, she blatantly suggested, are more dangerous than Islamic radicals. The company Cultural Links LLC that Essa worked for also went on the show. A client list revealed she has been spreading her philosophy to colleges, universities, schools, and professor educational associations throughout the country. Under the banner of promoting diversity and multiculturalism, Essa set out to compare Islam to Christianity, calling them, and I quote, "mostly similar. The one big difference," she claims, "is that Islam is the world's only pure monotheistic religion." Goes on to say the Common Core, he goes on to say here in this Freedom of Information Act, Common Core has taken a lot of criticism for reasons since it was passed. There are complaints that the quality of lessons, plans, and curriculums are subpar. Talked about that yesterday. And also, there's a political propaganda inserted into it. On top of it, it pushes forth a pro-Islamic agenda. While in the past, most of the Islamic content in Common Core was limited to a few vocabulary exercises, but now they have found that more and more exercises are showing up in Common Core requiring hiring students to write full-blown Islamic phrases, including Islam is originally peace, and we call God Allah. We've talked about this repeatedly now in school systems that they're requiring this. Another example of the Islamic propaganda inserted in the Common Core was units making students pick a Muslim name, recite Islamic prayers, and celebrate Ramadan. This particular incident culminated in a case overseen by the Supreme Court recently, which ruled, however, that school prayer is unconstitutional, but allows Islamic propaganda to be used as instructional purposes in Common Core school systems. So this is something that we really need to be aware of, because the whole aspect of Islam, I've talked about it before, it is a very, very sadistic culture as far as on the back end of it. Every single time people try to promote Islam, they try to promote it in a very calm, cool, and collected aspect. There are a lot of people that are Muslim that are completely relaxed, chill. They don't have any aspects of what they're trying to promote as far as radical Islam. However, when you start looking in every single country that the Muslim population starts to grow to 4 to 5%, to 6 to 7%, to 8 to 9 to 10%, you see the radicalization and the spread of the Islam ideology in every single scenario. There was a study done on this. I'll have to pull it up for another show that went into detail. When you start having the population become more than 10 to 15 to 20% Islam, you start having executions, you start having full-blown Sharia law, you start having every aspect of the Islamic ideology fully implemented with a complete force. And this is why they're trying to bring it in. And now you see the Pope coming in and talking about, you know, Islam Christianity and Judeo Islam Christianity. This is all being done to tie into a new world order and a one world religion, that they're going to try to bring all this stuff together and promote it. This is why Islam has been so heavily promoted, and this is why it's been so heavily protected, to where you can't say anything about it now negatively, or else you're completely and totally demonized, but yet you have the ability to go in and talk about Christianity and make fun of Jesus Christ and everything else all you want, and nobody says anything about it. It's free game. But you say one thing about Islam or that Muhammad was a pedophile, people flip out that are involved in Islam. So I just want to kind of address that Common Core isn't just the aspect of indoctrinating the children into being good little servants and slaves, or teaching them how to do math in the most convoluted way necessary, but also indoctrinating them into the Muslim ideology very, very slowly in the areas that are in Minnesota and Michigan that are highly Islamic. They're showing that the Common Core curriculums are not just based teaching a few vocabulary lessons. They're forced indoctrination of the Islamic culture, even on Christian children that do not consent to that, because of the Common Core system provided by the taxpayer now, Deb.
You know, Obama's just a gift that keeps on giving. You know, there's a reason I call him the gay Kenyan. He was also the gay Muslim Kenyan. And the guy just never stopped. And, you know, we have to understand, this is not something that he personally orchestrated. This is being done by the globalist Rothschild International CFR banking conglomerate, Masonic Lodge, weirdo wackos who run the planet. They want their one world government. They want their mestizo population. And they want to create as much conflict as they possibly can between Islam and Christianity. We've never had a problem with conflict with Islam and Christianity in the United States, because, as you said, the population was never high enough to do this. But now we're having Muslim indoctrination centers put into our school systems. And you think, well, now they're calling themselves the only monotheistic religion. Well, I believe that's probably because we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then, so the whole thing about it is that, you know, they don't understand that God is a triune God. He's the Godhead. They don't get that. And they now remember, though, the Muslims do believe that Jesus was a prophet, only second to Muhammad, and they do believe that they highly esteem the Virgin Mary. So, you know, we've got a group of radical Muslims out there that are saying crazy things. And now let me stop for 1 second, guys. How would we feel if we had a group of radical Muslims come in, you know, and start bombing states in the United States? You say, well, they did that with 9/11. Well, we think they probably did. We don't know who in the world these people were. We don't really know what their beliefs were. We believe they're Muslims. But, you know, were they Mossad? Were they CIA? Were they, black ops? Were they mercenaries? I mean, we don't know what the heck happened with 9/11. A lot of people don't even believe real airplanes hit the Trade Tower. So, I mean, so we've all kinds of theories out there that we were never told the truth on. So we have all of this disinformation that was put out into the media. So the reality is this. Here's the thing that the United States has done. We've bombed Iran or Iraq into rubble. You know, we've been involved in Syria. We've been involved in Libya. We've been involved in Egypt. And all of these countries are primarily Islamic. And they've seen us come in and literally destroy their countries, kill their families, kill their brothers, kill their sisters, kill their aunts, kill their uncles, kill their mothers, kill their fathers, kill their children, kill everybody. And, you know, and we don't understand the blowback, the collateral damage that is caused by that. Because here in the United States, you know, we pretty much live in peace, in prosperity. You know, and we basically have the ability to put these things behind us and not have to think about them every day. I mean, think about it. World War II was raging, but the Dodgers were still, you know, playing, and the Yankees were still playing baseball, and, you know, all the things were still going on here in the United States as our boys were dying in Europe. Same thing's true in Vietnam. I remember being in high school or being in elementary school when we were in Vietnam, and all, you know, and life continued on here. Because we didn't see the horrors of Southeast Asia and Vietnam. I spoke to a man just the other night at a convention that I went to up here on Saturday. And he was a gunner on a Huey, you know, his helicopters that you see like in Rambo from Vietnam. And he actually was tethered in, and he had this big 30 caliber machine gun. It was probably a 306 308 or whatever it was. Or it could have been an M60 probably. Yeah, he had an M60 machine gun basically, you know, tied in to a tether on the side of the helicopter, and he killed people. He went up and down the rivers and just shot people that were on boats or whatever who appeared to be bad. And to this day, he's still messed up. He's still on medication from it. He's still got post-traumatic stress syndrome from all the people that he killed. And when we talked to him about it the other day, I tried to talk to him a little bit about why we were in Southeast Asia and all the other things that, you know, we were involved in there as far as the drugs with the CIA. And he looked at me kind of curious, like, you know, what, I didn't know any of this was going on. So I told him a few books to read. But the thing about it is, we don't realize the carnage that we've created in all these countries, and we don't realize how many people we've damaged, Austin. And you've seen the same thing in your life with so many of your friends who've gone to Afghanistan, and they come back and they go, wow, we're guarding poppy fields over there. I mean, and I've had them send me pictures of poppy fields. This is what we're told. We're told not to touch the poppies. We have to guard the poppy fields. And I'm like, okay, this is all weird. But guys, you don't hear about it on the mainstream news. You're about on this show, but you don't hear about it on the mainstream news. And I've talked to you so many times about what the Rothschild-Trump interconnect. And let me give you some information on this real quick. You know, we need to realize that Donald Trump is tied to the Rothschild family through Wilbur Ross. We need to also realize that many, many, many authors have written different stories about how for hundreds of years the Rothschilds have dominated slavery, drugs, central banks, politics, red flag, terror, violent overthrows of regimes, depopulation, the media, etc. The Rothschild family has been associated with the Dutch and British royal families, the Rockefellers, and the Vatican for more than 100 years. Remember, the Rothschilds are the banking group that controls the Vatican fortune. Always remember that. And we also need to realize that the Rothschild-controlled media, you know, they become super wealthy because, you know, they have this money coming in from these international banking cartels. Now, remember, let's take a look at the Rothschilds. Let's take a look at Trump. Trump's daughter, Ivanka, before she was married to Jared Kushner, had a relationship with Nat Rothschild, and he was heir to the Rothschild, perhaps trillions of dollars. In 87, Donald Trump, now stay with me on this. In 87, Donald Trump purchased his first casino interest when he acquired 93% of the shares in Resorts International. On 30th of October, 1978, it was revealed a year later. Okay, or actually before that, that the reported that the principal investors of Resorts International were Meyer Lansky, the drug guy, the mafia guy, Deborah Rosenbaum, William Mellon Hitchcock, David Rockefeller, and Baron Edmund D. Rothschild. When the casino went bankrupt, it was only with the assistance of Wilbur Ross, senior managing director of Rothschild Inc., that Trump could keep the casinos. These days, and of course, Wilbur Ross, as we know, has been, you know, part of Trump's Secretary of Commerce. In the late 70s, Ross began his 24 years at the New York City office of N.M. Rothschild & Sons, where he ran the bankruptcy restructuring advisory practice. Also with Carl Icahn, Ross convinced bondholders to strike a deal with Trump that allowed Donald Trump to keep control of the casinos. In the late 1990s, Roth started a $200 million fund at Rothschild Inc., which specialized in leveraged buyouts of distressed businesses. Ross brought together LTV Steel, Acme Steel, Bethlehem Steel back in the 2000s. During the recessions, Ross took control of troubled banks in England, Greece, and Cyprus. He was also part of a group that required a 35% stake in the Bank of Ireland. Remember, he's a Rothschild guy. Robert Murdoch, let's look at him for a second. Australian-born media mogul, member of the CFR, there we go, and billionaire Robert Murdoch has been friends with Baron Jacob Rothschild since the 60s. Murdoch controls Fox Broadcasting Company and is also schooled at Oxford. That's a hotbed of the whole group over there. Jacob Rothschild served as deputy chairman of Murdoch's B Sky Corporation from 2003 to 2007. This is Murdoch, okay, who owns Fox. He's locked in with the rest. That's why I tell you, it's all the same group. Murdoch, jointly with Jacob Rothschild, invested a 5.5 stake in Genie, which conducts shale gas and oil exploration, amongst others, in Colorado-occupied Golan Heights. In June 2016, Donald Trump welcomed Robert Murdoch and his wife, Jerry Hall, for a dinner at his golf course in Scotland. Robert Murdoch and his ex-wife, the Chinese-born Wendy Ding, are also close to the couple Ivanka and to Jared Kushner. Then you have to look at the Blackstone Group, BlackRock. Blackstone is one of the many investment funds of Jacob Rothschild. The Blackstone Group was funded in 1985 by Peter George Peterson and Steven Schwarzman. The CEO of Blackstone, Schwarzman, is now an economic advisor to Trump and chairman of Donald Trump's Business Advisory Council, Strategic and Policy Forum. Steven Schwarzman was initiated to Skull and Bones in 1969, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, this is the former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, became a Bonesman in 1985. In 2015, Jaron and his brother Kushner, with Ryan Williams of Blackstone, who became Cadre's COO, founded the investment firm with Cadre. Kushner also partnered with BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager. BlackRock was funded in 1988 as part of the Blackstone Group. According to the state media, BlackRock is independent from Blackstone since 85. The founder and CEO of BlackRock is Larry Fink. The family Trump invests most of their money in BlackRock investments. There you go. See Steven Schwarzman and President Trump at a meeting of business leaders at the White House on February the 3rd, 2017. Now, what's interesting, George Soros, Rothschild agent George Soros, I've told you guys that 1,000 times, was involved with Trump in bankruptcy fraud with the General Motors building in New York. Soros, together with Goldman Sachs and Peter Thiel, funded the Cadre investment firm with $250 million in early 2015, and Kushner forgot to disclose that he's indebted for more than $1 billion from 20 investors, including Blackstone Group, Bank of America, Citigroup, UBS, Deutsche Bank, and the Royal Bank of Scotland. In 2009, Mnuchin was involved in a group of investors that included George Soros and Paul. I could just go on and on and on. These guys are all linked together. They're all tied up together through the Rothschild banking cartel. That's why I always tell you guys, it's just one of these things that you've got to realize, that this entire group, these international bankers and their satanic minions, are the ones that run the planet. You know, book other names. Remember, the names that were in Jeffrey Epstein's book: Donald Trump, Ivanka Trump, Ivana Trump, Evelyn de Rothschild, Jessica Rothschild, Hannah Rothschild, Edward de Rothschild, David Rockefeller, Peter Soros, nephew of George, Henry Kissinger, Roger Murdoch, Dershowitz, Tony Blair, Duke of York, Prince Andrew, Duchess of York, Fergie, all of these people in the book of Epstein. So we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves a question. Who's running the show? And are we going to really leave our blinders on? And remember, it was the Rothschilds through the Balfour Declaration that caused the creation of Israel. Israel is a fiefdom of the Rothschild banking empire. They run it and they control it, just like they run and they control the United States, because they have compromised so many of our congressional leaders and Senate folks through Jeffrey Epstein's little black book and his little sex parties. This whole thing has been going on for centuries, guys, centuries, and it's not going to end. You know, and what we have to do is we need to realize that we've got a deep, deep spiritual problem here in the United States. And it's not going to be corrected through a political process. What we need to do is have the groups of people in America, the Christians, get together and say, okay, no more. And we need to basically, you know, go in, get these elected officials out that are allowing people to use Diebold election machines in their voting so they can be hacked, and go back to paper ballots, count them properly. And we need to pass legislation first at the local, then state, county levels, and state levels to allow that to happen. And then we need to go and basically get rid of these people in Washington who've been compromised. And until we do that, we're not going to fix this. Because as we said earlier in the show, Jeffrey Epstein said it is amazing how easy it is to basically give people money and get anything, get them to do anything you want them to do. It's crazy, Austin. What do you think, bud?
No, I mean, that's really what it's come down to now is, I mean, the bankers have figured out a way to get in and completely control the system to the best of their ability via money or blackmail, because some people can't be bought. There's aspect of it. The aspect and the strength of some individuals' morals and ethics, they won't be compromised. And there are people like that. So at that point in time, what you have to try to do is you have to try to weed those out to the ones you realize you can't really control them. Because remember, you don't have to control 100% of Congress or 100% of the Senate. You just have to control 51%. If you can get enough of the individuals on your payroll, if you can get enough of the individuals blackmailed and you can make up for it, you can get a lot of this stuff passed. I mean, just like we saw with the Obamacare thing. That was a complete and total travesty, the fact that the government, by the people, for the people, that we had individuals that were elected that passed that legislation, and they made sure they exempted themselves. That was the big part that really, really bit me about that, was when Congress goes, oh yeah, Obamacare, blah blah blah, great for the population, great for everybody, free health care, even though it's a total lie. Oh, and by the way, we're exempting ourselves from it. We don't get fined, we don't have to buy into it, we have our own private insurance that we have because, you know, the peasants get Obamacare. That right there in and of itself showed you how compromised they were, because if they said no, all right, yeah, we're signing it. Every single person in the United States, Congress, Senate, doesn't matter who they are, even Obama is going to have the affordable health care plan. And if you don't have it, you're going to get fined. And if you do have it, you know, you can apply for this and apply for that. I wouldn't have liked it still, but I would have at least said, well, all right, at least they're putting, you know, their hand in the jar with us. But when you see them doing laws like this and passing bills and pushing stuff that they literally don't even follow themselves, that shows you that they have the tyrannical mindset and that they're doing exactly what their masters, essentially, are telling them what to do. Also, too, in other news, I want to talk about health topics. I brought this up the other day on the Hagman Report when I was on Wednesday night, but I didn't get to address it as much on our show as I'd like. And, you know, I like to get a lot of health show topics in. We haven't had a lot lately because there's been so much other stuff going on. But as a lot of our customers know, the Ultimate D3 10,000 is on sale right now for Product of the Week. You guys voted it won. It's on sale for over 15% off. And you've heard me talk repeatedly over and over and over again about vitamin D and how crucial it is and how important it is and how anywhere from, you know, beginning expectant mothers all the way to elderly people and everybody in between needs vitamin D. It's crucial for the body. And there's a new article that came out now out of the University of Michigan, new research study, and it goes on to talk about how low levels of vitamin D in elementary school spell trouble for adolescents. And this is something that's really, really important that people need to look at, because we have so many children nowadays that are vitamin D deficient because of the unbelievably poor diet that most Americans have, as far as not eating any legitimate vegetables that have nutrients in them. If they are, most of them are GMO or sprayed with Roundup. Hardly anybody takes good supplements anymore, except, you know, our listeners do. But I talk to a lot of people, oh, I don't need vitamins, I don't need that. You know, I get my vitamins for my food. And I'm like, yeah, that ideology worked probably 100-150 years ago when we actually had true crops that weren't modified and we had real crop rotation and every other aspect of it, and the soil was completely and totally butchered. I said, yeah, but that's not the case nowadays. Half the food we get on our plate isn't even from this country. We import it from other countries like China. It's a joke. But back into this article here, it says vitamin D deficiency in middle school children could result, or elementary school and middle childhood, could result in aggressive behavior as well as anxious and depressive moods during adolescence, according to a new study out of Michigan of a study of school children in Bogota, Colombia. They said children with blood vitamin D levels suggestive deficiency were almost twice as likely to develop behavioral problems, including aggressive and rule-breaking behavior, as reported by their parents, compared to children who had higher levels of vitamin D. Also, they said the low levels of protein that transport vitamin D in the blood were related to more self-reported aggressive behavior and anxious, depressed symptoms. So they said children who have vitamin D deficiency during their elementary school years appear to have higher scores on tests that measure behavioral problems. They go on to say that vitamin D deficiency has been associated with other health problems in adulthood, including depression and schizophrenia, and some studies have focused on the effects of vitamin D during pregnancy and childhood. This is why it's crucial, and this is why I've told you guys so many times before, when Lana was pregnant, the midwife tested her blood levels, her D3 blood levels, including multiple other things, but D3 also, every single time she got blood work, usually every 30 to 60 days. And it boggles my mind how I talk to a lot of girls nowadays, or ladies nowadays, and they text me up, or they call me, or they email me, the office, and they're discussing aspects of being pregnant, and they're, you know, they're whoever's handling it, the doctor that's handling their pregnancy, because very few people use midwives, which is sad, because they're awesome. And I asked them, I said, well, what are your vitamin D levels? Well, I don't know, my doctor never tests them. I said, you're 7 months pregnant and your doctor's never tested your blood, your D levels in your blood? No. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. These doctors don't do this. Vitamin D is crucial during pregnancy to make sure you have adequate vitamin D in your diet. And this is why we have a very high dose of vitamin D in our ultimate prenatals, but we also recommend the D3 10,000. When Lana was pregnant, for her personally, she was on two of the 10,000 K2 capsules per day, 20,000 IUs of D3 every single day, almost through her entire pregnancy, to keep her vitamin D levels where they needed to be. But that's why it's so important to test blood levels, because some people are going to have different results from it, depending on how much the child's taking, what your blood levels were before the pregnancy and everything else. But when you look at this right here in this research study, and they're showing here that kids directly that had low levels of vitamin D in childhood were having all types of behavioral issues, attention deficit issues, as far as anxiety issues. This is a crucial element that needs to be addressed, especially in children all the way up. And this is why even we have the product on sale, which you guys voted for, but we also have the mood support kit that we put together a couple weeks ago, which is the vitamin D, the vitamin B, the Norwegian omega-3, the multiple and the magnesium brain food, the top five supplements that really help out as a basis for mood support, on sale as a kit right now at healthmasters.com. But there's so many people now constantly talking about having anxiety. Every time I walk around, people are having anxiety issues. They're having depression issues. And when you look at it, when you really talk to a lot of these people, even the ones that aren't even on medication yet, and you look at their diet, and you look at their nutrient intake, and you look at their supplement intake, and you look at their lifestyle, and almost every case, not all, but in almost every case that I have personally seen, good, high-quality supplements and a change of diet can play a huge, huge role in overall mood support in the body, completely and totally naturally, with great positive results. Because you guys gotta understand, your body needs B-complex. It needs vitamin D. It needs magnesium. Your body doesn't have a deficiency of Prozac or Zoloft or Paxil. There is no deficiency for that. Those things are artificial, contaminated, in my opinion, into the brain from these pharmaceutical companies that do not fix the problem. They just cover the symptoms short term and then have a plethora of side effects down the road. I have known so many people that have had suicidal issues, including people that have committed suicide, that have been on these drugs because they're so hard to get off of once you get on them. And in most cases, a lot of times, nutrient and proper supplementation is the best option before ever even going down that road of the pharmaceutical industrial complex, Dad. What do you think?
You know, Austin, people don't understand how critical vitamins are. You know, I mean, I've been doing this now for 40 years, so I've got the concept, and you guys that are listening, you guys got the concept because we talk about it all the time. But the vast majority of the people still think they're getting their nutrients from their three meals a day. And they don't understand they're getting nutrients all right, but they're not really good for you. It's things like glyphosate. Okay, it's awful. And the craziest part about all of this stuff is that, you know, you think back and you look back at it and you go, well, this doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I mean, why in the world are so many people so sick in the United States and we all think we're eating healthy meals? Well, because it's not 1930 anymore. It's not 1940 anymore. We're not living on farms. We're dealing with GMO foods, spraying pesticides, thousands and thousands of tons of pesticides and, you know, sprays and herbicides on our plants and the crops that we personally eat every year. So what we've gotten here, Austin, is like you mentioned earlier, we're leading the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer. The leading cause of the death on our children age 14 and other than accidents is cancer. I mean, we've got these horrible statistics that nobody wants to talk about. We've got 1 in 28, 1 in 32 kids, 1 in 42 kids, depending on who you listen to, coming down with autism. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And when we don't have the proper nutrients in our body can't maintain its own health. See, the interesting thing about vitamins and minerals and foods are the body doesn't look at them. The body doesn't look at food as food. It looks at as an information source. So this is going to sound kind of weird for a second. Let me explain that to you what I mean. Our DNA, the DNA in the food, the DNA in our bodies, these are strands of information. It's basically a genetic information code is what it is. Food's the same thing. And when we have certain codes that are reinforced in our body, certain things that are reinforced in our body, it allows us to stay healthy. If we have the wrong DNA in our food, the wrong information code, like it's got pesticides added to it, and if that gets incorporated into our cellular structure when we eat things and gets absorbed, it creates a disharmony or a sickness or a disease in our body because it messes up our frequency because we're an energetic field and food's an energetic field. And this I don't want to get too deep into this because it gets really, really technical as far as from a science standpoint. But what ends up happening is we basically change ourselves. When you used to hear the old adage, you are what you eat, that wasn't a joke. You literally become what you eat. Let me give you an example. There's a really good article. It's in the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig. And it's called The Adverse Influence of Pork Consumption on Health. I mean, pork's not the other white meat, it's the other toxic meat. He lists all these different diseases that are caused directly from pork. Now, that particular article is actually posted on our website at healthmasters.com. You can look it up. Now, what's interesting about this is he said women who eat the fat from the back of the pig's neck for bacon, and he said it's really bad with women in particular, but it also happens with men, they develop a similar hump on their back right where that pork came from. It goes to where it biologically belongs in the human body. And so you see these people, they have these giant humps on the back of their head, or their faces are all distorted, and you think, what the heck happened to them? You knew them in high school. You think, how have they changed so much? Food will do that to you. And that's why you should never eat pork. Pork is it's too toxic. And plus, it's so close to our food, it's so close to ours, our bodies genetically, that it goes to where it biologically belongs. Now, what they did, they used isotopes, and they labeled this pork from the back of the bacon, from the pig's neck. And they basically had people eat it, and it would return to the same spot in the human body. They were able to track it via the isotopes. So this is the energy genetic field that we live in. And that's why we have to eat things that are pure, that are good, that are healthy, that are clean. I mean, we're already being nanotagged by the doggone chemtrails. I mean, that's ridiculous. We've talked about that in detail before. And those nanotags can go back in and do a read-write unit in our body and start sending out broadcasting information on who we are, what we're doing. I mean, this whole thing gets really, really weird. And I don't want to go into it today because even I like to use my notes on this topic when I get start talking about it. So what we have to understand is, you know, is what Austin said is correct. We need pure food. We need food that isn't GMO. We need food that has good information in it. We need food that isn't soaked down with pesticides. We need food, basically, that hasn't been altered by our scientists making them think they were creating a better product. No, they weren't. They knew they weren't. They knew they weren't making a better product. The only reason that Monsanto did what Monsanto did was to create Terminator seeds, which means they could not be reproduced again. In other words, you take corn that's GMO, and you try to take the kernels and replant the corn, it won't grow. It has a Terminator gene in it. Well, if it has a Terminator gene in it, and that's part of the information of the program, what the heck are you eating it for? It's got a Terminator gene in it. What's it going to do to you? Well, we know what it does to you. It rots your gut. And see, it does the same thing to pigs and other animals that eat it, including deer. And you got all this wildlife running around now, and you know, in a daze with all these crazy diseases, you wonder what's happening to all the wildlife. Oh, that could be the chemtrails. It could also be all the stuff they're being fed. So all of these things are happening to us right now. But we want to talk about how Donald Trump, you know, it was the chosen one, which we did the other day, or he says he is, and how, you know, all the other things we talked about this week, about him wanting to buy Greenland or whatever. I mean, the stuff he comes out with is just beyond belief bizarre. So what we need to understand, guys, is this. If you want to be healthy, you got to eat clean. That's why we wrote the book, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. If you want to be healthy, you got to take supplements, because you've got to have a high enough nutrient density of the food that you're taking that allows your body to replace the cells with healthier cells. In other words, our whole body gets its cells replaced every 60 to 90, 120 days or whatever. Some cells take up to 6 months to replace. And so they're constantly being replaced. And one of the things that really speeds up the aging clock is when you have to these cells get replaced over and over and over again very quickly, because they're weak and diseased when they get reproduced. And so you want your cells to last as long as you possibly can. And some theories of aging say that that's how you stay alive longer, stay healthier longer, because you're not replacing the cells as quickly. Let me give you an example. let's say you're going to be able to just use a number. You're going to be able to replace your cells 100 times, and then you die. Well, if you have to replace your cells 100 times before you're 50 years old, you don't live to be 50 years old. You're done. If you have to replace the cells 100 times before you're 100 years old, let's say you'd be 100. And so that's kind of how simple it is. But the only reason we can maintain those cells, we have to have them bathe in nutrients every single day. Now, if we don't bathe them in nutrients, and particularly magnesium, oh my gosh, I take 4 scoops of the magnesium brain food every day, and it really helps eliminate brain fog. But if you don't get enough nutrients in high enough concentrations, then the cells start to get weak, diseased, aged, and then they've got to be replaced. And so do you have another cycle that goes through? This is why you have such a different rates with people in the United States and how they age. You go to your class reunion. I went to my 45th class reunion. Some people look really young. They look great. Some people look really bad. I mean, some people look like they're 75 instead of 65, and some people look like they're 85 instead of 65, and you're like, what the heck happened to you? Well, what happened to them is because of the choices they made and the lifestyle choices, and a lot of them have already died. That's the craziest part about it. You don't even realize it. A lot of them are already dead, and you think, well, gosh, that seems like they're dying kind of young. Well, they've been dying the whole time since we got out of college or out of high school, because certain choices create your body's biological rhythm to get so messed up so fast that you die very, very, very quickly. And this is what we need to understand about health. I mean, you know, if we all stay together and just do our best we possibly can and work together and eat as clean as we possibly can, we're going to be healthy and productive pretty long. But it starts even in before you're born. It starts with prenatal nutrition with the mother. Let's talk about another article. This is an article that just came out. Prenatal ultrasound, not so sound after all. This is by the Children's Health Defense Team. It says, prenatal ultrasound is a taken-for-granted component of modern maternity care to such that an extent of that most obstetrician gynecologists find it impossible to practice their profession without ultrasounds. American women now routinely undergo 4 to 5 ultrasounds per pregnancy, despite the absence of demonstrated benefits, okay? And what's happening is, a Scottish physician developed the first 2D ultrasound machine in the late 50s, and they all started doing this more and more and more. And while the U.S. Food and Drug Administration tells prospective parents ultrasound exams provide a valuable opportunity to view and hear the heartbeat of the fetus, bond with the unborn baby, and capture images to share with family and friends, and the Centers for Disease Control denies any association between ultrasound and adverse effects, these are neonatal outcomes, now we're finding out that a single exposure to ultrasound produced cellular and DNA damage similar to 250 chest x-rays, and damage was permanent and heritable for 10 generations. You hear what I said? Not only is the child damaged from one single ultrasound, it can go for the next 10 generations. I remember the first time Sharon got pregnant, my wife, Austin's mom, back in the 80s, you know, she had a little bit of spotting, and the first thing the guy did was throw her in an ultrasound. We didn't know this. We didn't know this 33 years ago. We didn't know this. And he did like 10 ultrasounds on her, and her pregnancy terminated. Well, now I understand why. Now I understand why the pregnancy terminated. Because this guy was doing way too much ultrasounds and subjecting that fetus to way too much non-ionizing radiation. Other examples of man-made non-ionizing radiation include cell phones, cell towers, cordless phones, Wi-Fi, and more. Although ionizing radiation, think x-rays, has a reputation of being more powerful than non-ionizing radiation, is plenty capable of producing biological effects, including altering and changing and damaging cells. In the mid-1980s, a best-selling doctor authored likened ultrasound to other unproven technologies being sold to the public as being perfectly safe. It's not. According to the author of one recent ultrasound critique, the technology causes are far-reaching damage, describing a series of studies published in the 70s and 80s. The author notes that a single exposure to ultrasound produced cellular and DNA damage. Again, it's up to like 250 x-rays, chest x-rays. A second recent book summarizes 50 studies of prenatal ultrasound in China, describing alteration and injuries in the organs, tissues, cellular structures. You're basically throwing this baby in a microwave is what you're doing. And, you know, it's just not okay. It's just not okay to do that when you put these children into this ultrasound situation. So, guys, if you don't have to use an ultrasound, try not to do it. Try to find a pediatrician who'll be willing to do it without putting the child into an ultrasound. And if you have to do it, just do it minimal amounts. What do you think, Oz?
I think that's well said. I mean, I got a lot of people that asked me questions about this when Lana and I were pregnant with both of our children. And we decided, you know, when we were doing it, one aspect of it was the research that we found was that the earlier ultrasounds were the absolutely most harmful and most toxic to the unborn child, because the baby is just, you know, I mean, pretty much a ball of nerves at that point when they're super, super small, you know, and it's 6, 7, 8 weeks. So most of the research we found was that if you're going to do one, you need to do one past the 22 to 24 week mark. At that point, a lot of the bone structures developed, a lot of the body's already formed, it's just really, really small. And the effects on it are not as damaging. Also, too, if you do it, you want to do one as far as a basic ultrasound, not one of these full 3D, you know, HD, 4K, you know, high def ones that they do nowadays. Those are the worst, because the intensity and the frequency of what they pump into it is unbelievably toxic. And also, too, if you have one done, get the basis of it done, like Dad said, get in and out with it. Lan and I, we both had one done per child. We agreed that we were going to have one done. Primarily the aspect of it was we wanted to make sure that everything was healthy with the child and we didn't have any complications that we needed to be expectant of, and the fact that we were doing it with a midwife, if we ran into a complication like with the umbilical cord around the neck or something really crazy like that, we wanted to kind of know ahead of time. And so that's what we chose to do, but it was one and done. That was it. And even the specialist that we did it with the same specialist both times. We told her our concerns about it. Of course, she said that there's completely safe, there's no issues. And we agreed to disagree on it. And so I told her, listen, I said, we want basically a short one. We need to kind of see the aspects of what we're dealing with. We don't need to sit here and play around for 45 minutes and just completely and totally just bombard our unborn child with these waves just for, you know, an hour or so. And so she agreed to that, and we had a very simplistic one, and we saw what was going on, and everything was good, and everything was healthy, and we had a great time with it. And so we didn't have too many issues. But again, a lot of times now I see this, like Dad said, you know, a lot of these doctors and these whole insurance programs, because they cover this stuff now, they want to do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 ultrasounds in some cases. What the heck for? I mean, I get it. A lot of times you want to see the baby or you want to see the sex of the child. I get that. You want to make sure everything's healthy as far as towards the end of the pregnancy. But what in the world do you need to be doing 6 and 7 ultrasounds for? You see the baby once, everything's healthy, it's good to go. Why in the world do you need to go in every 3 to 4 weeks for a checkup ultrasound back and forth? The money. It always comes down to the money. They tag an invoice on the insurance company every single time you get an invoice, so they can get paid over and over and over and over and over and over again for each pregnancy. And on top of that as well, it would not surprise me if the more sinister approach was also being implemented, in the fact that they want to do as much damage as they can to an unborn child with the ultrasounds, so they make it seem like it's such a good thing. And people go, oh, they would never do that. Oh, like they would never tell us that fluoride's really, really healthy for our teeth when it actually is a neurotoxin and causes you to drop IQ points. They would never tell us that. But they would never tell us that vaccines are completely safe and we should never worry about them, even though we've seen the rise of long-term ailments in children go up, I think, what, 70 or 80% just in the last 30 years, and the facts that of the allergies, the autism, everything continues to go through the roof. They would never tell us that either. So these are the things you have to look at. That's my stance on the whole aspect of ultrasounds, Dad, but great, great synopsis on that.
Also, remember, when you start making choices for you and your family, and if you start, I'll be real direct with you about this, don't run your mouth. All right, because what ends up happening is you start making choices for your family that you feel are the best for that child, and you start telling your friends or relatives or neighbors who hate you anyhow, okay, what ends up happening is you don't know who they're going to contact. Let me give you an example. Oregon mother has been now jailed for recommending non-chemo cancer therapies for her daughter. I kid you not, she's been imprisoned. You know, and so this is an interesting article by Parker, and it goes on to say, when any human over the age of 18 decides they no longer want to continue with chemotherapy due to the side effects the poison inflicts on the body, physicians of the government don't bat an eye. But a patient who's basically a child under the age of 18, if you decide that you don't want to have them go through, you know, chemotherapy, they'll take the child away. And I've seen it happen. I have a friend of mine who lives in Montana, and he had a daughter who was diagnosed with leukemia, and she was like 15 years old. And he went to the medical professionals, and they basically told him all the stuff they wanted to do. And he says, well, I want to get a second opinion. They immediately turned him into the Department of Family Services. I mean, I'm not joking. And he just wanted to get another opinion. He got turned into Family Services. And finally, he ended up going to Washington State, because he lives real close to there, where he lives in Montana. He's on the corner, the northwest corner. And he called me up. He goes, man, what do I do? And I said, I told him a group of people out there that are medical doctors that work with alternative medicine. And he was able to use those folks in their hospital, but she still had to go through chemotherapy. And so then she wasn't getting any better. And finally, he called me back, and he said, well, what do you suggest? And I said, well, why don't you put her on our immune protocol? You know, get her on some good vitamin C and get her on some good nutrients and see what happens. And sure enough, she recovered, and they released her. But they were going to take custody away from him on his 15-year-old daughter. So be very careful on what and who you tell your innermost secrets to or your choices to, because, guys, a lot of times this stuff can come back and backfire on you. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be honest with your medical doctors. Make sure you know who the medical doctor is and what their beliefs are. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. You guys are awesome. I'll be on Hagman tonight. So you guys, I haven't been on Hagman probably in a month or so. So we're going to have some fun with Doug tonight. So I love you guys. I had the opportunity to pray for you again today. Thank you for your support. Thank you for getting your supplements and your toothpaste from us. And again, that's the reason I say toothpaste. I want you off the fluoride. Go ahead and finish it up, Austin. I'll talk to you guys on Monday or tonight, and I will basically do the write-up. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. There's definitely no doubt about it. It's been a wild week, lots of stuff going on, and we continue to appreciate all the support, all the emails you send us. We really do appreciate a lot of them. You know, I don't respond to all of them when people send it, because a lot of times people just send us comments or stuff. I get so many emails on a regular basis, I try to respond back to everything as much as I can, but it's busy around here. And so when you start getting dozens and dozens and dozens of emails piling up, you do the best you can to respond to them. So I do appreciate the support. We do see them. We do thank you. If you guys need anything, feel free to give us a call at Health Masters, 1-800-726-1834, or check out the website 24/7 at healthmasters.com. Be sure, as I told you guys earlier, to check out the product of the week. The CBD oil is on sale, and also to the Ultimate D3 10,000 is on sale, a product of the week, for over 15% off right now. And like I said a second ago, the CBD 3-pack and 6-pack special are on sale. So be sure to check that out. We also have the HR5 coupon that I started running this week on Wednesday for the Hagman Report. That'll be good till next week. The HR5, as it's in Hagman Report 5, HR5. It's good for 5% off all regular price products. So be sure to check that out and use it over the weekend while it's active. We appreciate you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, awesome week. Enjoy the Hagman Report tonight, and we'll talk to you again Monday, as always.